Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue that I believe every Christian needs to understand. As we open the Word of God and read the Word of God, study the Word of God, we need to understand what is called context. Context. And in the context, we need to understand further than the word studies. For example, when we talk about asking the question, was Jesus really tempted, as that dear pastor said? And by the way, a number of years ago, Dr. Charles Stanley on the air said something very, very similar. So I don't know, maybe this man's gotten a copy of Dr. Stanley's message, just trying to replicate it. I don't know. But he's 100%, listen to me carefully, 100% incorrect theologically, doctrinally, biblically speaking. When he said, made the transition that Jesus was tempted, and just as Jesus was tempted, men in the audience listening, if you're tempted to commit adultery by your eyes, then understand Jesus was tempted also, with the connotation that Jesus in his humanity could have had some of those same temptations, and he was trying to let his audience know, listen, Jesus was tempted, but he quoted Scripture, and so men, you need to study the words, you need to know the Scripture better, you need to be able to quote Scripture. That was what he was saying. That was his thesis. That was his theme. That was his predicate in making the statements to his congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, it was 100% incorrect, 100% doctrinally, theologically, biblically wrong, W-R-O-N-G. Dr. Davis, I can't go into all of the details. Time won't allow it. If I were in a lecture classroom or the pulpit where I had hour plus to say this, but the word temptation comes from the Greek word periosmos, which could be translated to entice, to test, to try, to tempt, or temptation. Context determines what that would mean in that word periosmos. When we say that Jesus was tempted, we need to understand the context and the setting. Dr. Davis, if you would take a moment and open your Bibles for us and read for our audience James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Because when we say that Jesus was tempted, there was an attempt to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, but he was not tempted. He was not temptable. He was impeccable, as I gave you earlier the understanding. Read those verses in James 1, 13 through 15.
Okay, it says here, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's an important theological doctrinal truth. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He's 100% God, and yet he's 100% man. So the question is, can God sin? No. Will God tempt anyone to sin? We must ask the question, who is Jesus? Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. Jesus is God, and God does not tempt to sin. God cannot be tempted to sin because he is God. By the way, I'm looking at page 37 of my 224-page book on the question of could Jesus sin, and in the middle of the page says, regarding the impeccability of Christ, perhaps it would be best to consider several questions at this point. What type of temptation did Christ face? Who was the originator of Christ's temptations? What was the purpose of Christ's temptations? Can God entice? Can God tempt to do evil? Who is Jesus? Can God be tempted to sin? Who was in control of the temptation experience, according to Hebrews 2:17 through 18? Those are some of the questions that we're going to look at, talk about, and answer. And I pray that if you have any questions about this, if you've heard others preaching and teaching, if you've heard your pastor make the mistake of saying that, I'd love to hear from you. You don't have to call his name or condemn him. That's not the purpose. But my purpose is for us to recognize the need to study the Word of God and to know it in context and to be able to apply it in our lives. Was Jesus tempted? No. He was tested in the wilderness. But in the midst of that test, Satan came through and tried to tempt him to circumvent God's plan for the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I hope you're doing well, you and Dr. Davis.
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Brother Tom.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, I know that not only do you have a doctorate and you studied, but you also have a university. When you listen to you on the radio, you're the real deal. And remember the scripture about when Jesus ascended and the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why you marvel?" In other words, why are you impressed by this? And Dr. Youngblood, the people like Kamala Harris, Biden, those are just actors. I hope anybody don't really take them serious because they're just actors. They're real easy to create. You just give them some money, create an identity. That's not hard. But a guy like Donald Trump, to make him what he is would cost too much money. You'd have to get all of those hotels built and do all of the things he's done. But Dr. Youngblood, the Democrats, those are not real people. Those are just actors. So I hope people don't get too caught up into what an actor is saying, because Tom Cruise is just an actor. Those are just actors. Those are just people that globalists have put up there, and they're playing a part. And if you get any more than that, if you start to believe that they're real, that they've really got intelligence and such, I hate to say it, Dr. Youngblood, but you've been deceived.
Absolutely. Tom, you're right on target. And I say not just their actors, the hypocrites, play acting, if you please, because they come out and Kamala Harris, I call her Cackling Kamala. She comes out with the idea that she has made the statement dozens of times that I've not changed my values. My values have never changed. Well, go back and look at the fundamental rudimentary values. She is a communist through and through, and all that she's ever done has been from a communist, socialist, Marxist viewpoint. And she's telling the truth with that. She's not changed her values. As Bernie Sanders said, that she is very, very, real in what she's doing. She is pretending until she gets elected. He calls it being pragmatic. That's being practical. He says she is pragmatic, and she's doing all that is necessary to get elected. That's the facts of it. And the general public probably surfaced right over that and didn't realize it and understand it. But it is horrible to think that we have the play actors, or the hypocrites that's leading the nation today and trying to destroy behind the back door of Israel, trying to destroy the nation of Israel, undermining what Israel is doing. By the way, I'll be talking about that, Lord willing, on Monday's broadcast about Israel and the dangers and who owns the land, what's the real facts about what is taking place there, the real stand of America out of the Biden administration against Israel, though it says it's for it. But you're exactly right. And Tom, my concern is at this very moment, we've got 30 days for an election, and it is my prayer through the devastation that has taken place in about 6 or 7 of our states, the major devastation, that God will divinely intervene and provide those folks that are almost destroyed and had been devastated from the hurricane, the floods, and the winds, that God will divinely intervene, overshadow this election, and give us a real election, and do not allow it to be stolen as it was in 2016, stolen in 2020, stolen in 2022, and they're on the fast track for doing it now. And I believe this hurricane results, the devastation, will help them do so unless we pray and seek God's face, because they are hypocrites. They are play actors, and we need to recognize that and not fall for the lie that we're being told. Tom, thank you so much for you. Go ahead.
If I could, I'd like to ask you one more question. The Democratic Party was formed. The Democratic Party was formed in 1828. So it's almost 35 years till Lincoln issued Emancipation Proclamation. Now, the Democratic Party wants you to believe that they're the party of freedom, but they did absolutely nothing to free the slaves. Nothing. That's just right. Like Kamala has done nothing for almost 4 years. The Republican Party was formed in 1851 with two goals as their prerequisite. One was to end slavery. The other one was to end polygamy, which was rampant. And it took them 10 years to get a president elected. It only took them 2.5 years after that to issue Emancipation Proclamation. Dr. Youngblood, when I talk to people, minorities, or even my own college-educated sisters-in-laws, and I tell them that, they look like the deer caught in the headlights. That's just too much truth. I'm serious, Dr. Youngblood. It's too much truth to comprehend for them.
And they want to remonstrate against it and say, where'd you get that information? I've never heard that before, or simply deny it. And therein lies the fact that many people do not want to hear truth today.
No. And that's, this broadcast that you have is nothing but truth. That's all. Don't tune in expecting to hear a mantra or a narrative that's not the truth.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your words of encouragement, and may God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Was Jesus really tempted? Now, you've heard some preliminary information and forming, if you please, the foundation of answering that question. And as we talk about it, the question is, could God sin? Could God yield? Could God be tempted? Well, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Dr. Davis, look at Luke chapter 1 and drop down. The unit of thought begins on the right page, the right column in my Bible, verse 26, goes through verse 35. 38 is the last verse in that unit of thought, but verse 35 is the one I want us to focus on. The context of that is Angel Gabriel has already told Mary, which is a virgin, told Mary that she's going to have a son. He's going to be called Jesus. She does not understand it. She can't fathom it. There's a question about how is it possible for me to have a son when I've had no sexual relationship with a man? And the angel Gabriel gives her the answer to that, which is the answer to the question, could Jesus yield to temptation, found in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, verse 35. Read that for us, Dr.
Amen.
Davis.
It says here, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
So here's the picture, ladies and gentlemen. Listen carefully at the theological doctrinal hair splitting, if you want to call it that, as to getting down to the rudimentary, fundamental, foundational answer to the question. The question boils down to that we're asking today, was Jesus really tempted? That word tempted mean enticed. Was Jesus enticed by Satan in Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11? Was he enticed to do something that was antithetical to the Word of God? Was he enticed to turn the stones into bread? Was he enticed to do that? And that word enticed I'm using because the word temptation, in the midst of the testing of Jesus, and he was being tested of the Holy Spirit, and we'll tell you why in a moment. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was there to test him, to prove that he could not yield to Satan, to prove that he is God come into flesh, to prove that he is high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, as the Scripture declares. To prove that he is God. That's the reason he was in the wilderness. But ladies and gentlemen, if we say that Jesus Christ is God, and every theologically sound denomination should say that, if there's a question about Jesus' deity, and there's a question about Jesus' deity in Mormonism, there's a question about Jesus' deity in Jehovah's Witness, there's a question about Jesus' deity in multitudes of the false cults and false religions today. But Jesus Christ, if he is not God at all, if he is not 100% God, he's not God at all. He's 100% man and 100% God. But in his humanity, somehow, some way, mankind has gotten to the point, in fact, many theologians, many pastors, because Jesus is 100% man, well, man, he hungered, he thirsted, he wept, he slept, etc., all of the human attributes and traits, somehow, some way, they say that Jesus also could have yielded to Satan's temptation. Ladies and gentlemen, that is to deny that Jesus Christ is God. That is to reject the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any human being, pastor, preacher, teacher, theologian, or otherwise, were to say that Jesus could have yielded to that temptation. Why was he in the wilderness? He was there to prove. The Scripture says in Mark 1:12. Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, the 12th verse. Time won't allow us to get into the exegesis of each of the verses. But Mark 1:12 tells us that the Holy Spirit drave, D-R-A-V-E, that's the word in the King James, drave him into the wilderness. We put it in the Youngblood vernacular, and the Holy Spirit drove Jesus Christ into the wilderness. It was done by the Holy Spirit of God to test him, to prove to the world that Jesus Christ could not sin. Nor could be he could not be tempted, yield to the temptation of Satan. Listen, let me do it this way, Dr. Davis. Each and every one of us will face some kind of test. In the midst of the test, Satan will usually come in to try to tempt us to digress from what God has in mind for that test. I use the illustration many times. If a elderly lady is walking in the concourse of the mall and has a large purse and everything but the kitchen sink is in that purse and things hanging out and falling out of the purse, and her wallet flips out on the floor, and a man walking behind her sees that, picks it up, and $100 bills fall out of the back of the wallet. He looks at it and thinks, my power bill is due and God's going to pay my power bill. This is the way he's doing it. And he thinks, no, that's not mine, it's hers. And he goes up and hands the wallet to her. She says, thank you, thank you, thank you, and pulls out two or three of the $100 bills and says, thank you for giving this back to me. In the midst of the test, we are prone to yield to the temptation of what Satan would have done. And that's what was happening with the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tested, but that test was to prove that he is God, that he cannot yield, that he cannot be tempted, that he cannot yield and be subdued and enticed by Satan. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, that is absolutely right. Jesus was God incarnated in the flesh, And God cannot be tempted, as we say there. He could not be tempted to do the thing. But he says he was tempted in every like manner that we are. Now, yet without sin. And that very proved that. Not only he could not lie. God cannot lie. God, Scripture says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. And whenever he was confronted about what he was supposed to do, the mission that he had gone to finish what God wanted, he says he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, either he lied or either men are lying whenever they divert from what Jesus Christ said, period.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. By the way, let's go back and touch on that. Hebrews 4:15, Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, wherein as we are yet without sin. That word all points from the Greek text is the word pantateon. It simply means the world, the flesh, and the devil. He was tempted by the tested by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are tempted, and through that temptation, that test, we're tested, and through that test, we're tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. It was not talking about. There's no connotation in the word study of that text that Jesus was tempted to smoke Marlboros, or that Jesus was tempted to guzzle down some Bud Dummer and Miller Lowlife. Jesus was tempted to chase skirts or to look at women in the wrong fashion. Nothing, no connotation of that, but yet most preachers, brother, and this is the thing that I'm bothered by, most pastors, most preachers, in fact, multitudes of Christians today believe that Jesus had all of those things in his heart, that he was tempted, and yet he was not did not sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, Jesus did no sin. And in 1 John 3:5 and John 14:30, Jesus had no sin. And if there's the yielding of temptation, that's sin. If you look with sin in your heart, that is sin. Jesus had none of that because he is divine. He is God. He is God come into flesh. Brother, you're exactly right. Thank you for that.
The devil is very busy today, and he always has been. Just put that, he knows our weak spots, and he will pick at us like a sick hen in a hen pen. Everybody will pick on him.
You're right, exactly. And that's the sad thing, that so often we do not have the word in our heart enough that we can use that as the shield and the protection when Satan tries to tempt, trying to get us to be enticed to commit sin. And that is the wonderful part of the fact that Jesus is 100% God, and Jesus shed blood, shed on Calvary's cross, is the covering for our sin. Had he had one iota of sin in his blood would not be efficacious to save us from our sin. Brother, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Davis, absolutely. God bless you. Thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' blood is divine blood. He is virgin born. His blood is God's blood. And Dr. Davis, you read the text a little earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35. And the picture there is, here is the Holy Spirit of God hovering over the womb of Mary, impregnated Mary with the seed of God. And therefore, Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is pure, it's precious, it's priceless, and it is the only blood that is efficacious for the sins of humanity. So I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that we can look at the Scripture and understand what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that Jesus was tested in all points, wherein as we are, yet without sin. Dr. Davis, what say you? What are some of your thoughts that you believe that our listeners need to understand today in relationship to that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when I hear people, especially pastors and others who are supposed to know the Scriptures, wrestling with the Scriptures in that fashion, that's telling me, first of all, that they are unlearned and either unconverted or have never been transformed.
Mm-hmm.
All these things have to be. If you are a Christian, I'm not going to say if you're supposed to be a Christian, but if you are a Christian, then there should be conversion. You got to be converted. And then the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
The only way that your mind can be renewed is through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at these people, and like you say, from time to time, I have to confront people like that myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm one that like to confirm the churches.
Amen.
I like to know that you're on the right track concerning the scriptures, because everything that Jesus Christ did, if you don't believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, as it says in the scriptures, then you might as well just go ahead and throw in the towel.
Amen.
You're already defeated.
Right.
But pastors, those who are responsible for preaching and teaching the word of God, ought to, like you say, keep the scripture in context.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Matthew chapter 4, it says that then was Jesus led mm-hmm. of the Spirit.
That's right.
That's how he overcame. And this mm-hmm. is what I teach from time to time. People say he overcame because he quoted the scripture. That's part of it.
Part of it. Right.
But the biggest reason why he overcame is because he was led by the Spirit. That's the key to it. Now, he had two things present in his life because he was 100% man and 100% God.
Right. Amen.
But the holiness of God that was on the inside, simply because he had self-determination, he would not allow himself to be tempted in that way because he didn't want to do anything that was contrary to the will of the Father, because he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me.
Absolutely.
So that's the frame of mind that we need to stay in.
Absolutely.
We didn't come here to live like we wanted to. We're here to do the will of God.
Amen. And Dr. Davis, I'm going to read a few statements on page 109 in my book before we close. To say that Jesus could have sinned would deny the virgin birth and thus question the authority of Scripture. To say that Jesus could have sinned would deny the deity of Christ. Jesus is God. To say that Jesus could have sinned would destroy the immutability of Jesus, the God-man. To say that Jesus could have sinned would say that Jesus had a human father rather than the Holy Spirit as his father. To say that Jesus could have sinned would say that the divinity was absorbed by his humanity. To say that Jesus could have sinned would say that God could sin. To say that Jesus could have sinned would deny the eternality and preexistence of Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer today that you will have listened well and understand the need. And by the way, Dr. Davis, this is the reason I say to every pastor, preacher, teacher, those that are teaching Sunday, you need to get into Bible college, Conservative
Amen.
Theological University.
Amen.
Study the Word, know the Word, know how to exegete the Word, and do the Word studies that will help you understand texts like this so that you do not preach error, so that you do not teach error, so that you understand God's Word.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on there today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on... You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood and Let's Face the Issues. This program allows you, the listener, to call in and ask your questions about current issues. Dr. Youngblood deals with moral, ethical, and political issues that face our culture and the church. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 91.7 for expository preaching by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is the pastor founder of First Conservative Baptist Church and the founder president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues can be heard daily on 91.7, 91.3, and 91.9 at 11:30 a.m. Don't miss